Let us pray. Abba Father, as we gathered before you, prepare our hearts to listen to you. We commit the gathering before you. Open our eyes, open our ears, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is the beginning of a new year. And what is the good? So this is the first day of this year. It's about beginning. So if we go back, the first book is in Genesis. And there are eight men in Genesis. And today I want to talk about the first man, Adam. Why we have to go back to all the beginning? Now, this is the first day of 2023. We are going to study the first book in the Bible. And in this first book, we are talking about the first man. God's willing, I'm going to talk about the other seven men whenever I come to Calvary in this coming year. So today I'm going to talk about Adam. Why would God create heaven and earth? Today is the beginning of New Year, but let us go back to the very, very beginning in God's mind. Hey God, why do you create heaven and earth? When you do something, what is in your mind? What is in your heart? What do you want to bring out? There must be a purpose in God's heart. I wonder, because I'm not a good cook, sometimes I watch YouTube to learn how to cook. So if you look at, the clip is about 8 minutes about cooking Hainan chicken or something like that. So in the first maybe 20 or 30 seconds, they show you all the ingredients there. If you want to cook Hainan chicken, you need salt, you need seasoning, all these herbs, all these condiments, and you need a fresh chicken. You put all the ingredients there. Then if you skip fast forward to the last 2 minutes, then you finish a well-cooked Hainan chicken there. Oh, this is the finished product. This is the start. This is the beginning. All the ingredients putting there. But you skip all and you come to at the end. Now you know what the finished product is look like. So even though you skip a lot, now I know where I am. Now I know in between is the process. Okay? Similarly, God has a plan in his heart. So even though we start at the beginning, but we must ask, God, what is the final thing you want? Not what I want, but what you want. When you create heaven and earth, what is in your mind? What do you want? How come the earth is in chaos now? 2023 already? Are you still working? Some people even say, God is dead. God is no longer working. He doesn't care about us. Is it true? Are you still working? So we must go back to the very, very, very beginning. God, what is in your mind? So Genesis seems to be the right place to start. Adam is the first one we have to look on. May I say, just like the first ingredient, maybe salt. We have seen one man, Adam, there. But with all eight men together, we have a glimpse of what God is trying to do in the end. Okay, so let's look at the next page. God's eternal purpose. That means when God starts creation, he has something already in his heart, in his mind. There's a purpose in his heart. Just like your school gave you a project. Okay. You are going to do this. So in your mind, you have plan. God also has plan. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Blessed be God and the Father of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, notice I picked this because it talked about he chose us even before creation, even before Genesis. God created heaven and earth. isn't before the foundation of the world. So he chose us. So what it means is God has something in his heart. He planned there already. And what is his plan? That we should be holy and blameless before him. So the outcome is not he chose us, but throughout the whole process of human history, day by day, he changed the man he wants into holy man, into blameless man. And this man come before him. So this is, you can say, this is the end. God chose you. God chose man. And one day this man become holy and blameless before him. This is the final. This is the product. Okay? And tell us more about it. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. He predestined. There is a goal. There is a purpose. Not just men, but this man will be like sons to him. In the beginning, we are not, but eventually, step by step, we will become like sons, just like Jesus Christ. How does God achieve that? How did he achieve that? Through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So sometimes people talk about God's will. What is God's will here? Does he want me to go to America or go to UK? No. He wants us, not just guiding you to here or there. Much bigger than that. What would be the final outcome? The final outcome is to be God's sons, to be like Christ, to be holy and blameless. Now, this is what God wants in his heart. This is the final. So if we look at something, if you look at a book, the front two chapters and the last two chapters, if we skip to the book of Revelation, it talks about in the future. The final, what will be the outcome? And we can see, John can see there will be a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So the beginning, heaven and earth, but later on, God is going to the new heaven and the new earth. But what's the most crucial figure or people in this new heaven and new earth? Oh, there's a holy city. New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from earth, prepared as a bride. Now we can see a bride and a husband. So in the beginning, in Genesis, we see Adam and Eve. But now, in the beginning, it's more than one. We can see the husband and the bridegroom and the bride. And the bride refers to people, God's people. The church. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Behold, look, I have achieved that. The dwelling place of God is with man." God is with man. This is what God is trying to do. No matter what you have been through, all the difficulties, all the heartbreak, all the sorrow, all the pain you have been through, God is trying to make something out of all this experience. God is trying to build, to be with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. God wants to be with you, with us. He will wipe away every tear. So throughout this, the process, in the beginning it's like that. The final is like this. But during all this process, what we have been through, what we have been human history, what you have gone through, maybe every day, there may be tears. There may be death. Every tears from the eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Yes, God wants something like this. Throughout, to achieve that purpose, someone has to go through pain. Sometimes we have to go through mourning, crying, all this. Dear brothers and sisters, God has a purpose and he will achieve it. Are you a bystander or do you have a part in it? Think about yourself. God is doing something. Someone is building a a house there, or you just walk by, oh, nice house, nice house. Are you just watching? Or maybe even you have a part in it. Maybe you can, in a way, help. So when God is doing something, I hope you are involved. Do you realize you are part of that? He wants to be with you, with us, to be with man. He will wipe away tears. Maybe during this process, you will cry, you will mourn, sorrow. We experience death. But all this, one day, they will be gone. So now we see God has a purpose. And it all starts from the beginning. Now we know. Let's go to next step. In Revelation, it also says, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. He started something, he will bring it to finish. Sometimes I say, oh, I'm going to do some changes to my house. I started it, but sometimes I run out of money. Sometimes I run out of time. Sometimes I realize, oh, I'm too weak. I don't have the knowledge to finish it. So I can't finish the project. You see, this is bad. I'm the Alpha. I started it, but I can't bring it to completion. I can't finish my job. Sometimes, oh no, certain things happen. Accidents happen. Oh man, failed. I got to have plan B. There is no plan B for God. He plans something, he will carry it out to the very end. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He finished the job. He will definitely finish it. When he started something, he will finish it. Guaranteed. When he started his work in your life, he will finish it. Guaranteed. Thank God. When he started to do something in my life, he's going to finish it. There will be, God won't fail. There is no plan B or C or D. We may fail. We have bad calculation. We have limitation. I plan a project, but then I died. I can't finish it. But God is an eternal God. He can finish his work. Thank God. So we must be sure God has a purpose. Throughout history, even though we can't explain many things, we can't explain many things that happen around you today. But there is a purpose. There is a purpose. And he started it and he's going to finish it to achieve his purpose in your life. Next page. So what is man? When you think of something, there must be something special about that thing. If I ask you, when you think of a dog, what do you immediately think about the special point when you want a dog? Can you tell me, Jessica? A dog?
They bark.
Yeah, dog can bark. We expect dog to bark when we have I want a dog, I want it to bark to protect my family. So, how about you? Can you tell me what I expect from a horse? A horse? They can? Sorry?
They run.
They run. Yeah, they can have power to pull, to run. You can ride on it, isn't it? So, now tell me, if I ask a plumber to come to my house, what do I expect from him? Would I expect him to be fixing my the woodworks, a plumber for woodworks? No. Plumber is for plumbing work. Now let me ask you a simple thing. What do you think most important thing in a man? What do you expect from a man? Anyone give me? Lyndon? Man, what do you expect from a man? Is he smart? He can fight, he can run, he can walk. What do you expect from a man? Ah, this is hard.
Contrarious.
Sorry? For glory. Glory, okay. Yeah. But when someone asked Jesus, what is the most important, which law, which commandment is most important? Commandment is, you must do this, isn't it? Commandment is, I can say, it's the greatest demand. When God created man, this is, I demand you to do this. A dog, I expect it to bark. A horse, I expect it to run. Man, God, what do you want from man? And Jesus quoted it from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The might speaks of your body strength. The soul speaks of the mind, all your emotion, your feeling, your heart. So now we know, why do you God give you a heart that can pump blood? No, the heart is to show your love to God. Why does God give you the hand? He said, I can build a great building, a bridge, a painting. I can play wonderful music. No, use your might, use your body, use your strength to show your love to God. In other words, when God created man, I don't expect man to bark. I don't expect man to be strong as a horse. I don't expect man to just to fix the plumbing work. I don't expect man to be just clever. I expect every man to be a lover, to love God. So, you don't have to be very smart. You don't have to know all the... You don't have to be very strong. But with the strength you have, with the mind you have, with the heart you have, you can love God. And God said, this is the man I want. So the first ingredient, just now I talked about making Hainan chicken. The first ingredient may be salt or ginger or pepper. I don't know. But for God, when I think of man, I want a man that can show his love to me. Now the next point is, how do you show your love to God? If someone likes chocolate, I can buy you chocolate, isn't it? So in a way, if we know what God wants, then we have a way to please Him. But sometimes the parents will test their kids. Sometimes I make that difficult. Now if I give my kid some chocolate, one chocolate, two chocolate. Now when the packet comes to the last one or two, now this is the last one or two left. I'll come to my child. Hey, I love chocolate. Can you give me one? Now that is difficult because maybe in the past, in the beginning, he may have so many chocolate. Give you one, it's easy. But now when there's only one left, you're taking my only one? Yes. Can you give me the last chocolate? If he or she gives me the last chocolate, I feel so happy. It's more than chocolate, isn't it? It speaks of he wants to please me or she wants to please me. That is love. Do I care about the chocolate? I don't want that much chocolate. I can buy her more chocolate. But if you have so many chocolate, I can't see, am I precious in her eyes? But if there's only one chocolate left, I can test if she or he likes me or not. Isn't it? So would you do something like that? My parents once told me, when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, I don't know, I can't remember the age. But once my father told me, with a solemn face, the doctor said mom is sick. He needs someone to cut a part of their flesh to make boiled soup. And when she drinks the soup, she will get well. Are you willing to do it? No, I was 4 or 5. Oh no, my mom is sick. Then after a struggle in my heart, then I said, yes, but can you cut it from here so nobody can see? You see, my mom was so happy. I was in a real struggle to me. But she was so happy. Why? Because it shows my love to her. She still remembers in her 90s. She still remembers this little part of how I show my love to her. I'm willing to cut a part of my flesh for her. So it's more than a chocolate, my friend. More than a chocolate. But for God, He wants us, He can't force us to love Him. He must give us a choice to be made. And if we look at what choice God gave Adam, which is in next, true love with God must comes with a free will. When God put Adam in the garden, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, every tree. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat." So there's only one tree there. Don't eat it. The way you eat it, you shall surely die. So sometimes I wonder, God, why do you want to trick Adam? It's not fair. Just like a girl like chocolate, and you put a chocolate in front of her, don't eat the chocolate. Oh, and she saw the chocolate all day. I can't eat it, I can't eat it. No one watching, and she took it. No, you are tricking the girl. You are putting her in a very difficult situation. No, but the situation is not like this. Because Adam has lots of chocolate, lots of choice, many trees. He can surely find satisfaction among all these trees. But there's only one tree. Usually I think, oh, maybe that's a poisonous tree. God, why do you want to, what a parent would be to try to poison his children? No, God, you can't do that. So actually, it's not like that. Actually, just God put a tree there. Why? It's not a trap. It's not a trap. It's the only way Adam can show his love to God. God did not say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Sometimes we feel our parents all say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So many don't, we feel really upset, isn't it? But for God, you can do all things, except one, don't do this. When you do this, you surely die. What does die mean? Die means no longer you can have connection with God. God is a living God. When you choose that tree, that means, God, I don't want to see you anymore. Get out of my life. So picking that tree means one thing. God, I don't want you. I don't love you. Leave me alone. I would rather die. That's, in other words, that's the only way out from God. So just like in here, a closed room, isn't it? Closed doors. I said, everyone, stay here because they love me. You will say, not really, but I have no choice. I can't get out of this room. Then I say, if you don't love me, that door is open. You can open the door and go out. And if you really go out of that door, then I say, now I'm not saying to myself, everyone love me. I can really let them have a choice. You see? So that open door, leave it open to you, that means you can choose to leave me. God, in the Garden of Eden, leave the tree there. So what does it mean? It means if Adam did not choose that tree, it shows that Adam wants to be with God. If Adam chose that tree, that means Adam is saying to God, yeah, you provide everything to me, yet I don't want to see you. I want you to out of my life. I want to go my own way. There is no love in there. So God can't force people to love Him. That is not true love. So God opened that door And what is the choice of man? As we all knew. Actually, God knew this. God foreknew what Adam will choose. But still, he has to open that door. Otherwise, there will be no true love, isn't it? Next page. The fall of man. And we know what happened. And the woman saw the tree was good for food. And it was a delight to the eyes, and the eyes was to be desired, to make one wise. You see, it's all about herself, themselves, man. Good for food. Oh, I can feel the juice, I can feel the smell, I can feel the taste, all good. I enjoy it. I don't care what God feels. I just want to please myself. Delight to the eyes. I enjoy watching it. It's beautiful. The more you look at it, the more beautiful it is. But there are many beautiful trees, many animals there, isn't it? Wonderful garden there. But because God said, don't eat it, then you have, what is so special about it? The more you look at it, the more you think it's beautiful. The more you think of it, oh, it's a delight to the eyes. We are tricked. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Oh, that can make me wise. I can make my own judgment. I don't have to listen to you. I can make my own choice. So all this self-independent, myself, I enjoy it. I like it. I don't have to listen to you anymore. This is the fall of man. Are you still in the fall of man? Do you still live your life like this? I don't want to listen to God. I don't like to read Bible. I want to go my own way. I want to be wise from the world. I can make my own decision. I don't have to listen to you. I don't care about what you say in the Bible. I just care what I want. I feel like it. It's good. It's beautiful. I like it. I. So your whole life is based on I. I want it. I like it. God, stay out of my life. Stay out of my way. God, you remember in the beginning, God created man to love him. But instead of loving him, we love ourselves. We are seeking pleasure in life. So this is the fall of man. Are we still living like this? You remember, God, I said in the beginning, the final, when God dwells among men, what kind of man God wants? What are the ingredients in this man? This man must be a lover of God. So throughout history, God is seeking to find men who love him. God allowed everything that happened to you to test if you love him today. Do you love him? Or stay out of my life, stay out of my way. I just want to enjoy. Now, when he ate the food, gave it to her husband, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and make themselves a cloth, okay, to cover their body. So once they make the wrong decision, the guilt condemned them. They know they are naked before God. They know the shame. Shame. In the before, they know no shame. But because you rebel against God, you know you have done something wrong. The guilt drives you to hide. You are no longer open. You feel the shame of your true self. I am a wicked man. I am an evil person. I don't follow God's way. Sinner. Shame. I have to hide myself. So no longer people are true. Don't believe everything you see on the internet. People give you, oh, this is my face. They use some software to change their face to look much younger. Don't trust it. And when they heard the sound of God, what do? They hide themselves. And God has to find, where are you? Men are lost. Men are lost in God's sight. God lost his lover, in a way. God lost his first love, like that. Okay, next one. Because the fall of man, the judgment comes down on man. And what happened is the man said, you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. Now, no longer Adam loved God, no longer he really cared about the woman. He put all the blame on the woman. Blame game, making excuses, think of themselves. Man become so selfish, no love. Man was created to be a lover, but right now we can see all about loving, yeah, but not God, loving himself. When something wrong, put the blame on others. That's his fault, that's her fault. The woman whom you gave to me, God, actually, that's your fault. You gave me the wrong woman. She gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. I am a victim. I am blameless. It's all your fault. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And the woman blamed the serpent. So this, the reason we can make all these excuses when we have made something wrong is inherited from the first parents, isn't it? We know how to put the blame game on. The serpent deceived me, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts, and your belly shall go, and thus you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head. Actually, the he refers to Christ, shall bruise the head, Satan, and he shall bruise his will, where Christ died on the cross. But however, I'm not focusing on that. To the women, you say, I must surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. That really short, two short verses speaks of the pain of being a woman. Okay, you spend your whole life serving your child and in pain to bring them up. So often you get heartbroken, discouraged, and your desire will be contrary to your husband, and you have conflict with your husband. But he shall rule over you. Oh, this family problem, all this poor woman because of the curse. Okay? That's the curse of the woman. Let's see the curse on the man. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, now you are responsible. You have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you. So, Adam, you can't blame your wife. God commanded you. This is a direct relationship. I commanded you not to eat. But you listen to the voice. You can reject. You can say no. You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And because of that, the whole creation is under curse. So that's why all these bad things, sickness, poisonous things, you have to weed the garden. All this no good thing grows in the ground. And all this evil, all this pollution starts when man starts to be going away from God. In pain you shall eat of it of the day of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So man's whole life has to struggle to find food. So this is the curse of man. They focus so often not on the family, so they focus so much on the work to provide food, to struggle. So the sweat, the pain, and all this struggle. So this is the curse of man. So sadly, if we stop here, we can think, oh no good, God has a plan. And it totally failed. Man disobeyed him. Woman disobeyed him. And the situation turned to like this. Oh God, you have failed on man. What can be done? If you know man is going to fail, that men are going to fail you, with you still, how would you feel? Is God failed? Man failed, does it mean God failed? And yet, throughout this, we can see something very important. Man should be a lover of God. Next page, the last page actually. The judgment on man. Actually, I should change the title to the love of God. Even though man failed to listen to God, man failed to choose God, still God allows you to show your rejection to Him. What does it mean? It means God, in God's mind, yes, you can reject me. You are created to have a free will. You are created to have a choice. You can make choice. Even though you don't choose me, I still choose you. I will still create you. I will still provide you everything you need. Why? Because it shows God's love. Man failed to be a lover of God, but God is still a lover of man. I say it again. Since the fall of man, man showed in his heart he doesn't love God. But does God let go of man? No. God's love is going to save them from their lower state. Yes, you rejected me. Yes, you've forgotten about me. Yes, you want to go your own way. But I'm going to reach out to you. My love to you never ends. I'm going to sacrifice my son. I'm going to find you and bring you back home. And the Lord made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. They used wick leaves to cover their own shame. That won't cover. But God used to dye a dead animal skin. That means some animal has to die. That speaks of Christ. The death of Christ can clothe them, cover them, so they can cover their shame, so that they can come before God again. So in the beginning, it seems man failed. But in a way, we can say God has successfully shown his undying love to man. Even man rejected him. We failed him. We go further and further and further away. We hid ourselves in shame. And yet, this is not the end. God starts to reach out. Let his son die on the cross to reach out. Shed his blood. Use his life to cover us. And bring us home before him. We can see the love of God. For Adam, God loved me. Of course, I'm the only man. God provide me everything. God loves me. Yeah, should be. I can take it for granted. God loves me. He provide everything. Just like the children, when they brought, oh, my parents love me. Look, all this beautiful thing. God, my parents love me. But once, when the children got really naughty, go away from home, just like the prodigal son going home, away from their parents, rejected their parents, scolded their parents, forget about their parents. And yet, when he at the bad time, he looked back, oh, God still is waiting for me to come home. He still opened the door in Jesus Christ, waiting for me to come home. So his love wins. He has shown his love never ends. You know, a son, if he stays at home all the time, he may not feel he's unworthy. But when this prodigal son have a broken relationship and he has gone far, far away, And the father came and find him and bring him home like a good shepherd. Then he realized how deep, how true that love is. So in God's, yeah, he knows we make wrong choices, and yet throughout these wrong choices, we can see something. Not how good we are, but how good he is. His love never ends. If God wants a lover, he must be a lover. He loves us. How great it is. God is our lover. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. Even though we men sin against you, we are so unworthy. So often we make wrong choices. But yet, you know, and you still forgive. And you come and seek us through our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us back to you. And your love never ends. And we know one day we will dwell with you in glory. We thank you for your great love that never changed. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.